Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Earlier this week, I had a devotional with our kids, and it was a really special time. I gave them all sticky notes and a pen, and I asked them to write down what they appreciated about each member in our family. And it was kind of funny because for some of them, it took them a little longer than others. They had to think long and hard. I won't say who, but it was entertaining to watch them do that. And I did it too. And when we got to the end of the whole thing, we exchanged the notes. And it was just beautiful. It was funny. It was an intentional time. And I want to try something kind of like that today, but a little bit different. So if you can, I'd like to ask you to just close your eyes right where you are and think of what you have in your life. I'm not talking about the issues or problems or challenges or even things that are difficult right now. Think on the good things. When we're practicing gratitude, we can begin to see things line up. Think about your family. Think about your health, think about your job, look for the good, whatever comes to mind that you're grateful for. Now let's open our eyes. Everything that we have access to is a gift and is a resource. Scripture tells us that every good and perfect thing comes from above, from the Father. And the question is, what are we doing with these things? Today we're talking about stewardship. Managing kingdom resources. So we're launching that for this month. Stewardship, managing kingdom resources. Everything we've been given has been given from the Lord, and it is a kingdom resource for us to use to continue to further his kingdom. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Pastor Josh and I use this scripture often to remind ourselves, because it's a commission to remember. Remember him. Remember he's our source. Remember he's the one who provides everything for us. And also Acts 17:25, which says, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. So everything I'm blessed with is a God-given resource. All of it. And that's important for us to maintain in our perspective. Sometimes we can get confident in ourselves. Sometimes we can get confident in our hard work or our accomplishment or the accolades we receive or the titles that we receive. And we can lose sight of the main thing. But God enables us to be successful. It's not us in ourselves, but it's him who enables us. So what do we do with that success? What do we do when we're successful? How do we handle the resources that we've been given? Let's go to Matthew 25. We're going to go piece by piece on this because it's a big one. It's the parable of the three servants. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So notice what's established here. You have an owner and you have managers. And notice also it says that he gave each one in proportion to their abilities. It's a lot like what we see today. People are entrusted with what they can be responsible for. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. So this is already very telling because you see the proportions are in line with what they ended up doing with it. So continuing on, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account. I wish I could show you, give an account should be highlighted right there. Give an account, remember that, of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with five more and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I've earned five more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what everybody wants to hear, right?
Yes.
The master was so full of praise. You have been faithful in handling small things and this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And the servant who received the two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more. And the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. So these two servants not only made more, but they doubled what they were originally given. And I think that's important to note, that that type of reduplication is important to God. The servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. So he's kind of thinking he's doing a good thing. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. So I think this was something that really stood out to me, and that is that the servant's false understanding of the master became his excuse for laziness. So there was something broken between his understanding of who the master was and what he wanted. And I think sometimes we can find ourselves in that position where we're misunderstanding what God is requiring of us. Sometimes we can misunderstand God. We can become inactive, or we can become passive with what we have. But this is why stewardship is so important. He was fearfully passive. Stewardship would have come in handy for him. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they're given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Fruitfulness is very important to God. We see it throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible. From the beginning in Genesis, one of the first things he said was be fruitful and multiply. He was talking about them multiplying in number. But throughout the Scripture, you see it with the fig tree. It wasn't producing fruit, so Jesus cursed it. Fruitfulness is so important because it's evidence. It's evidence. Do I need to scoot a little bit? We see a lack of stewardship. A lack of fruit is a stewardship problem. So I want us to get that. A lack of fruit is a problem with stewardship because it means there's something broken in the productivity system. And so we have to look at our lives and say, how am I doing with my stewardship? How am I doing with being producing what God has put in my hand? Am I reduplicating? Am I investing it well? And when we look at biblical stewardship, it's very straightforward, and I'm going to show it to you. Four foundational principles of biblical stewardship. Number one, ownership. God owns everything. He is the owner of it all. Number two, responsibility. We're managers of his gifts. So he entrusts us with the resources, right? He gives us these gifts. He provides seed to the sower. Number three, accountability. We will give an account for our management. It goes back to that part that I said this should be highlighted. We will give an account for everything we've done, whether it's good or bad stewardship. So the reason stewardship is important to understand is because you can be a good steward or you can be a bad steward. In one way, you're stewarding what you have, but it's important to steward it well. Why is it important? Stewardship is the proving ground of whether you can be trusted. It's not about whether God is trustworthy. His scripture has so many promises to us about his faithfulness. But when we position ourselves in a place where we can be trusted, then God is able to trust us with all the things that he says. But sometimes we miss the mark, and then we're upset, and we're like, well, God, why? How come he hasn't blessed me more? Why hasn't he done this? And sometimes it's us who's the issue, it's not him. So Luke 16:10, I want to go there. If you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. If you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? I mean, that's very clear, right? Stewardship is all-encompassing. It's not limited to money. So sometimes we get fixated on it's a money thing. No, how are we stewarding everything that we have? Our health. Are we stewarding our health, our bodies well? Everything we have, remember, is a gift. You know, there's nothing that proves the point to you about how health is a gift than when you get injured and you stop, right? Movement is a gift. Being able to move, being able to breathe, being able to do things, be mobile. So it's just like changing your perspective to see all the little things and the big things are important. Relationships. How are we stewarding the relationships that we have? Do we invest time in the right relationships? Also, our strengths, the gifts that we've been given. What has God placed in your hand? Do you use it just to build your own kingdom? Or are you saying, God, how can I use this to better serve others? How can I use this to help build your kingdom? So these are things that we have to really look through the filter of, God, show me how to be a good steward of what you've given me. And ask ourselves, what type of steward am I? Check out your heart posture. Check our thought process. Ask yourself the hard questions. What has God made me responsible for? So assess, what has God made me responsible for? What has he placed in? Maybe you haven't figured that out yet, or maybe you're in the process, or you do know. What has God made me responsible for? How am I stewarding what he's given me? Am I a good steward? Have I kind of fallen into the lazy part? Do I just need to refocus my efforts? How am I stewarding what he's giving me? So a long, long time ago, I won't say when, I pretty much grew up in church, and I sang often. I sang in the kids' choir. I sang as I got older. I joined the youth. I started singing in the youth teams, whether it be the choir, ensembles, anything that involves singing, I was in it. At a certain point, I was doing both youth and adult, so it was just a lot of singing, a lot of practice, a lot of stuff was going on. And it was all fun. It was all great, and lo and behold, I experienced church hurt. So I just want to say something about this. There's no perfect church. Doesn't matter where you go, because there's no perfect people. So there's always an opportunity for somebody to get hurt and for offense and all that stuff. So because I was hurt, I decided, that's it for me. I don't want to sing anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to sit back and I want to receive. And this was just when I had started coming to Hope. It was a fresh start. And then we had so many talented people. I remember we were off at the Golden Glades, and there were so many people with great gifts. And I remember saying to myself, I'm just going to sit and I'm just going to receive. And one day in the service, I heard the sermon, and the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me. And it wasn't condemnation. Condemnation is when you feel bad about yourself. It was a conviction. It was like a soft whisper that, an awakening that led me to see, man, what I have is not mine. It's not mine to hoard. It's not mine to put away. I was created to do this. I was created to worship for his benefit, to help others. And that specific gift, I have, you know, we all have multiple gifts, but that one was the one that I felt like, I kind of want to put this on the shelf. But when he spoke to me in that moment, I realized, who am I to withhold from the king that which he's given me to serve him? And so I say that to you to say that no one is exempt from being challenged in this area. No one is exempt from being attacked to where you may be disillusioned and you say, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Maybe you had a dream with a career or something that God gave you, and it kind of fell apart, and you're just like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Go back to the place where you connect with the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do? Sometimes it takes a repositioning of our heart. Sometimes it takes getting directive from him. We should always seek directive from him, because in our instruction from him, we find clarity. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, there are moments that we listen because we hear it loud and clear. And there's moments where it's that still small voice. And we have to learn how to listen to that still small voice. It can change your perspective. That moment for me changed my perspective for like the remainder of my life. My mindset has been, God has given me a call. I have a duty to fulfill. I have a role to play. I cannot not be at my post. So it doesn't matter, rain or shine, if I'm feeling it, if I'm not feeling like it, if I like the songs, if I don't like the songs, if things are going crazy on a personal level, my duty and my role, I have been designed to do these things. You have been designed to do things that only you, they're unique to you. They are precious in the sight of the Lord. And it's a very important thing that you don't set that down. You know, I think a lot of times the reason people struggle with depression and other things that make them feel like they don't have purpose is because they're not operating in the fullness of what God created them to do. There's such fulfillment in walking in the promises, not just the promises, but what God has called you to do specifically. So as we're preparing our hearts for this moment, I want to just close our eyes and we're going to pray together. God, I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for you to speak to us. I thank you, God, that you are God who provides provision for the vision. You've given us all a vision. You've given us all tools and gifts in our hands for us to be able to build your kingdom, to serve you, to love you, and love those around us. And I pray right now, God, that you would open our eyes to see what those things are. If there's anyone that is struggling with seeing what those things are, God, I pray that you would show them, that they would begin to see that you have created them for more than this, that you have created them with great purpose. Your scripture says that before we were in our mother's womb, you knew us and you created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So God, I pray today that eyes would be open, that there would be a heart change. Lord, that our hearts would be driven to do what you've asked us to do. Lord, I thank you for clarity in this room, clarity of thinking, clarity of thought, and that our ears would be open, not to what other voices say, but God, what you're speaking to us right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking to us. And I thank you, Lord, for removing anything that has hindered us from operating in the fullness of what you have for us. Remove hurt, remove fear. Let us not misunderstand who you are or what you're requiring of us. I pray that you would help us to be fruitful. Help us to be good stewards of what you've given us. I thank you that you're not a God of condemnation. Your word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I do thank you for your conviction, Holy Spirit, to help lead us and guide us into all truth. So today, Lord, as we surrender, as we open our hearts, we're thankful, God, that you guide our footsteps. And as we're still praying, maybe there's some of you that may feel like you've drifted. And you say, I want to reconnect with the Lord today. I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you that you will find a reconnection with him today in his presence. If that's you, just raise your hand with everyone's eyes still closed. We're reconnecting with him. And if there's anyone that says, maybe I haven't really ever connected like that at all. I haven't connected with God on that level, but I'd like to start today. If you raise your hand, I'll agree with you as well. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you, Lord, for every heart, every person that's here. We ask you, God, to continue to lead and guide us. Jesus, we make you Lord of our life. We ask you to show us the way. We know we can't do it on our own. But Jesus, you're the one who is salvation. And so today we choose you. We choose to do things your way. Not our way, but your way. So Jesus, we choose to say yes. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. And we thank you, Lord, that you help us to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lead us and guide us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.